Rask, 881 for Smith. Which of those two is more concerning, Derek?
Well, I guess if you were to take a look at it long term, I would have to say Mike Smith, simply because the Flames don't have a proven backup like the Bruins do. I mean, Yaroslav Halak has been outstanding in three games so far this season. 2-0, a shutout, a 1.18 goals against average, a .961 save percentage, and at 33, he has a proven track record. You look at his career goals against average, 2.49, his career save percentage, .916. He's played over 400 games in the league. So I think the Bruins know what they have in their backup goaltender. So if Rask does falter, you've got Halak to fall back on. I think it's a different case for the Flames. So I still think Smith is going to be just fine. It's early. A lot of teams, a lot of players are struggling early in the season. I think things will even out for guys who have been around and teams who have proven in the past that they're maybe better than they've looked so far this season. But what the Flames don't have is a guy like Halak. Rittich, I think, has the potential to be a really good number two goaltender for this team, but he's in just his first, what I think is going to be, full NHL season. So without a track record to back that up, I guess only time will tell.
Yeah, I don't think there's great grave concern around either spot. I am with Derek, though. There certainly is a less known insurance policy in Calgary than there is in Boston. Halak's a guy that's carried the mail for a significant portion of his career, and David Rittich's career, you go back a full calendar year, it hasn't even begun yet at the NHL level. So that's a fair point there. I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, Boston's missing a few bodies as well. They've got Krug out on the back end. Calgary's missing Hamonic on the back end. I don't think either team is probably as tight defensively as they'd like to be, and probably both teams would love a few more saves here or there, but both teams are off to good starts, so I don't think anyone's burning down other GM's phone lines. It's probably waiting pattern and, you know, decent amount of confidence in both front offices.
You know, when I think about it, guys, the one that concerns me more, you know, at first blush, I think I probably would have gone Smith, but the thing that I think concerns me a little bit more from a Rask standpoint is, you know, by and large, how good the team has been just period in front of him so far this year. All reports are that Bruins playing some really good hockey. And so I think that that's maybe a little bit more concerning, because I think at the very least you have, and Derek, we've talked about this, I don't want to say built-in excuse, but Has Smith allowed too many goals on the shots that he's faced? Yeah, for sure, and he'd be the first to admit that. But he's also been in a number of games where, even when he hasn't gotten a high workload, the shots that he has seen, they've been 10-bell chances because the Flames have had some really bad breakdowns in front of him. So because of that, I'm willing to give Smith a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt right now. I think both guys will get it back on track, but for me, I think I might say Rask is a little bit more concerning.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. Now, with that said, Pat, without watching every single goal that Tuukka Rask has given up this season, it's hard for me to really evaluate how many were his fault. Maybe there were breakdowns in front of him, and he had no chance on some of those goals. And, you know, the Bruins are a very good defensive team, so probably not to blame for all of those goals against, as far as Rask is concerned. But the other factor for me is age. Rask is 31. Smith is 36. Rask has had much more luck staying healthy in the past than Smith has. So to be completely honest, if I was looking at this from a neutral perspective, I'd be more worried about Smith than Rask, who's also got a Vezina trophy under his belt. But I think both guys are going to be just fine.
Fair enough, and the age thing certainly played into my mindset as well. So both guys enter with .881 save percentage. They will go head-to-head tonight. Mike Smith for Calgary, Tuukka Rask for Boston, your goaltending matchup tonight. It's the Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. Steinberg, Pinder, Wills, along with you. Flames and Bruins tonight at 7:30 p.m. Guys, Elias Lindholm has 6 points in 5 games. He's been a really, really nice fit on this team in the early stages this year. 4 of those points are goals. I think, Derek, we wondered coming into the season what type of offensive ceiling Elias Lindholm had. And because we didn't know, being put with more talented players, maybe that could get him to a higher threshold. Is this the indication of a higher offensive ceiling, or is it too early to tell?
Well, I thought he had a higher ceiling prior to him ever playing a game for the Flames. When you just look at his usage with the Hurricanes, he was moved around on their top three lines and didn't have guys like Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau to play with. With all due respect to Sebastian Aho, who's off to a phenomenal start with the Hurricanes this season, really, he just kind of broke out this season. He's been a good player in the past, but certainly not this good. But in Monahan and Gaudreau, he's got two established line mates who are superstars, certainly in this market, and stars if you look at them from an NHL perspective. So I thought that if Lindholm had a chance to play significant minutes with Monahan and Gaudreau, he could certainly cross the 20-goal threshold and maybe even put up, you know, 55 or 60 points. And I wasn't necessarily convinced that he was going to be their right winger for more games than not this season, but that's how it's worked out early. But even if you put Lindholm in a second-line role, I still think that he's got a great chance to get to 20 goals, and certainly having four in the first five games helps. But he's really impressed me, guys. Having only watched him a couple of times in each of the previous four seasons, I didn't really know how good his 200-foot game was. And he's not huge. I mean, he's kind of average sized at 6'1" and 192 pounds, but he's so smart. I find him to be way more physical than I thought that he would be, and he's really good at winning puck battles along the boards. And if you're going to play with Monahan and Gaudreau, you better be able to retrieve the puck. That's one of the key things that you have to be good at if you're going to play with those two guys and have success with them. So I just think that his all-around game's been really impressive so far in his time with the Flames, and I would not be surprised at all if he scores 20 and puts up 60, especially if he keeps playing with those two guys.
Yeah, I don't want to be the rain on the parade, but he's shooting at 31%. His career average is 9, and even if he has a big year, I would think sort of like 15% shooting percentage would be a huge improvement from what he's done in his entire time of work in the NHL. Now, that said, if he does that, he's still probably in line to break 20 goals, but make no mistake, this is a hot start with what, you know, the people looking at the numbers would call lucky shooting. And, you know, you look at, for example, the game-tying goal. I mean, you're talking about a matter of a half an inch, if that's whether that goes five hole or not, the game winner, or the game-tying goal against Colorado. He's on a bit of a heater shooting-wise. He's not going to shoot 31% the whole year. And, yes, you get good looks on that time top line, better than what he got in Carolina. But he is not going to score four goals for every 13 shots he takes this year.
You know, so I think that's fair to say. Unsustainable.
I guess
the word to use there, but he's also only 23, guys. He's only going to get better. He's still not even in his prime, although some would argue that players' primes, with the way the game is being played now and the speed the game is being played with now, is younger than it used to be. But I don't think Lindholm is in his prime yet, and he should still keep getting better here.
Well, and to the point about shooting, I would like to see him with a little bit more in terms of a shooting mindset. And that's something that if he were to start, even if it's one or two more per game,
yes,
if that were to happen, knowing his career shooting percentage of 9%, I think we could be talking about some really nice numbers for Lindholm. And playing with Monahan and Gaudreau, you're going to get those opportunities. Now, I know those two guys, there's always a tendency to maybe defer to them, and you're like, okay, pass off. But if you, and we saw it, for instance, in the game against Colorado, instead of passing off, he stripped, he came in, he wired it. The guy is an accurate shooter, and when you're talking about four seasons of 9% as an average, that means that you're an above-average accurate shooter. So I would like to see Lindholm shoot it more, because I do think there is some really nice finishing potential there.
Yeah, I don't disagree, Pat. And that game-tying goal that he scored late in the third period against the Avalanche last Saturday was proof of just how well he can shoot the puck. And it really does explode off his stick. And you're right. It sometimes can be difficult when you're playing with guys as good as Monahan and Gaudreau not to defer too much. I mean, you want to give the puck to Sean Monahan. He's one of the best pure shooters in the NHL. And you've got Johnny Gaudreau, who's one of the best playmakers in the league, so I get it. But also the threat of a shot coming from the right side, I think, can make both Monahan and Gaudreau even more effective than they already have been. So it's good that they finally have a right-handed player to play with, because I think that's been one of the reasons why the Flames' first line has had some success and why their first power play has had some success early in the season. The fact that they finally have a right-handed guy in their top six, I think it's really helped their cause.
Derek Wills, Ryan Pinder, Pat Steinberg, the Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable is part of Pinder and Steinberg here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Final topic, gents. Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak enter action tonight as a line with 30 points in five games. Derek, are they the best line in the NHL?
Ooh, that is a great question. I mean, we saw a fantastic line last Saturday night in Denver. I mean, that threesome with Nathan MacKinnon, who finished second to Taylor Hall in Hart Trophy voting last season, and being flanked by the captain, Gabriel Landeskog, and then Mikko Rantanen, who is looking like a star in the making right now, especially with the jump he had in his point totals from two seasons ago to last season. I think that would be a top five line in the league for me. But if I were going into Game 7 of a Stanley Cup final, and I could only pick one line in the league, I would take the Bruins' first line. These are three guys who are all good 200-foot players. I mean, in the case of Bergeron, probably the best 200-foot player in the NHL right now. And Marchand is, as we know, as tough to play against as anybody in the league. And I think Pastrnak has really improved defensively. And offensively, he's always been very gifted. So I would rank them number one. If I was going into a one-game showdown and I had to pick a top line, that would be it. Now, with that said, two of the three guys on that line are on the wrong side of 30. So if I was looking more long-term and trying to pick a line, I'd probably go with that Avalanche threesome that I talked about. But for right here, right now, tough to beat the three guys Boston has.
Yeah, that line in Dallas. I mean, I don't know if Radulov's up there right now, but they can do some things. You nailed it on a good young one in Colorado, Boston for sure. Even, you know, Washington, the things they've been able to roll out. I don't have a number one, but certainly if you want a line that gives you a bit of everything, I don't know that any line is as, you know, well-rounded as this one with an agitator, pest, with an incredible two-way centerman, and with just an unbelievable finisher. And that's almost not giving them enough credit, because all those guys can do some of those things.
Yeah. For me, the reason why I say they are the best line in the NHL, they're not the most dangerous line in the NHL, because, yeah, you know, the MacKinnon-Rantanen line with Landeskog in Colorado, or right now the Austin Matthews line with Kapanen and Marleau in Toronto is pretty deadly. Like, there are maybe more dangerous or more potent lines, although this line has been scoring, too, with 30 points in five games. But it's what they can do in every situation. I believe Brad Marchand is the best all-around winger in the National Hockey League. We know that he can score at a high rate. He's been point per game before. He's an agitator. He is good on the penalty kill. He does everything. David Pastrnak, as a 21-year-old, had 80 points last year, and he's trending upwards as a 22-year-old. And yesterday, Bill Peters, and it was, I thought he put it perfectly, when talking about Patrice Bergeron, one of the best two-way centers in the history of the game. And so when you're talking about a line that combines all three of those things, I don't know if any other trio can do it in the NHL right now. So I would say they are the best line just because of what they can do in every single situation.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? It kind of gets me thinking about what the Flames could potentially do. And we saw it for two periods on Saturday night when they fell behind by a couple of goals and had to change up their line combinations and went to the threesome of Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, and Matthew Tkachuk. Now, that's not Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, and David Pastrnak, but you've got some different elements there, and I know a lot of people would love to see Bill Peters use that threesome more often, and just kind of talking through with you two guys, it makes me wonder if it's a group that we might see from time to time, and maybe not just when the Flames want to change things up and are behind in a hockey game. You do see a lot of teams kind of putting their three biggest eggs in one basket these days, making that matchup really difficult, especially when you're on home ice. So something to think about.
Yeah, no, it is. And look, flexibility has been the buzzword of the season when talking about the forwards here, and just their ability to pick, you know, what kind of poison they want to provide for the opponent. That's something that Glenn Gulson didn't have the luxury of doing last year, to be frank. So yep, it's a nice spot for Bill Peters to be in when he's got multiple looks he can go to, including the very intriguing, as you alluded to, top two lines to finish in Denver on Saturday.
All right, gents,
yeah,
good
it's
stuff.
It's nice to have that depth and flexibility, isn't it? Because to your point, Ryan, it's not something that Glenn Gulson had, and it's certainly something that Bill Peters has used.
Yep. And we'll see, because Bill Peters has talked about how he doesn't want to have to juggle things up, but sometimes you have to, and he certainly has done so, and a lot of times it's ended up working.